right. Hope you got your hand out this evening. We are doing our Bible study on disciple, being a disciple, and what that means. By the way, good to have Needy is back from Cambodia. She's here for a couple weeks. They have some appointments, and so her and the girls came, and she left Brother Vong at home. Secretly, they've been having some issues, so I told her to come back, and we'll try to help her. And you know, absence away from Brother Fong's a good thing. I don't know if you know that, but so make sure you go by and say hi. And if they need anything, she probably could use a couple $1,000s. So make sure you do that. We're looking at discipleship or being a disciple, the dynamics of being a disciple. I'm sorry. Samantha, what's your problem? You didn't even come by and say hi. Raise your hand. All right, your other hand. You're under arrest. Good. All right. Good to have Samantha back. I knew you were coming. I forgot that was today. Good to see you. How you feeling? When did you get in? Tuesday night. Good. Good to see you. She's here too. And so she wanted to make sure Needy got here properly. So good to have her with us too. Make sure you go by and say hello to her. As we look at the dynamics of being a disciple, there's eventually three things I want to get into. We're looking at the first part, that a disciple is someone who follows. And that's our verse there. Jesus said to his followers, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I won't go into the introduction, or what we've already talked about, that you know, a disciple is one who is more than just a Christian. Okay, they're not satisfied with just being saved. They want to have a deeper commitment to Christ. They want to actually follow him and not be a generic, you know, Christ follower, or whatever it is people throw on their car today. They really do want to follow Christ. And so we've been looking at that concept, that disciples are followers. Last week, we looked at the fact that disciples are followers who seek others. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, okay? And we went through all that last week, and I'm not going to rehash it, except to say, if you are not seeking to win others with the gospel, you're not truly following Christ to the degree that he wants you to, and I encourage you to learn that. And it just so happens, in October, we start our training, okay? Our RU training, Reaching Unashamedly, and so we'll have sign-ups starting next week, and I encourage you to be a part of that, and learn how to share your faith. Tonight, we're going to look at another subject when it relates to that. Number eight, disciples are followers on Christ's terms. Disciples are followers on Christ's terms. We'll read the verses here, this little story. We'll go through it. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, and it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So as we look into this story, we understand a true disciple, one who really wants to follow Christ correctly, will do it on his terms, not ours. In other words, we're not going to go to him and say, I'm going to follow you, but, you know, here's how I'm going to follow you. What he is saying is, I will come to follow you, and then Christ lays out the terms involved with that, and we follow those terms. Too many people want to do the opposite. In this story, we see that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. As they are on the way, him and his disciples, there are encounters, and if you count them here, with three different individuals. All these encounters revolve around following Jesus in a very life-changing way. And by the way, you know, let's just throw this out here. If we follow Jesus, our life will be different. Yeah. If you say that you are a follower of Christ, and that didn't change your life, then you're not really following Christ. Now, we're not like the disciples where he followed them and they left everything and followed him in a more of what we would call a full-time way. But your life will be different. And so that's one way to tell if we're really following him the way we should be. Is there any difference in my life? Has there been any change? Now, these ones would have been in a more maybe full-time type of capacity. In each difference, the offer to follow or the response given to that offer is different. Jesus is teaching here that following him wholly or being a committed disciple is not as easy as we think. That's the problem with modern Christianity. We're trying to make being a Christian, being a disciple, follower, we're trying to make it as easy as possible so more people will do it. Do you understand that has the opposite effect? Right?
Yeah.
When you make something easy, it's not genuine.
Yeah.
When you say, it's okay, do it. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches something completely different.
Amen.
And because if we follow Christ and we're not really doing it the Bible way, it will be discouraging. And you know, it's just like I've had, not recently, but you know, like, yeah, this Christianity thing, it's just not working for me. If it's not working for you, it's because you're not working it right.
Come on.
So that's what's happening here. These three men come. And it's kind of showing what really is going on in our society. Terms of following are not negotiable. Whenever we follow, whatever this new kind of Christianity, which creeps into all of our churches, it's really, this new type is nothing more than self-serving, one-sided relationship. In other words, we want a Christianity that is beneficial to us, that's helpful to us, without us having to put anything out. Without us being inconvenienced, without us having to do anything. And by the way, God wants to give us things, but he does ask us to follow on his terms. John F. Kennedy famously said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country.
Yep.
Hard to believe a Democrat said that, okay? You know, we could Christianize that, couldn't we? Ask not what Christ could do for you, but what can you do for Christ? And we understand that Christ has done a lot for us. That was the whole message on Sunday night about love. Here's the ways he loves us and the way we're supposed to respond. And we're supposed to love him. But there's these three followers there. And I want us to observe tonight these three types of followers, how they interacted with Christ and how they responded. And we'll learn some things. And maybe one of these represents a way we're trying to follow Christ and it's not going to be helpful. Let's look at the first follower. The first follower, letter A, that was the follower that was willingly committed. Look at verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man came unto him and said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He comes up and says, Jesus didn't ask for anything. He goes, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you want me to go. Jesus gives a little reality check in verse 58. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So the first one steps up to Christ on his own. He feels compelled to come to the Lord and let him know that he'll follow him. He'll do whatever he wants him to do. He'll go anywhere. Now, you would think that Jesus jumps up and down and says, look at this, we got one. Maybe Jesus really knew the guy. By the way, we get so excited, don't we? By the way, let me retract something on Sunday. We were talking about, I mentioned the thing that I'm a Rams fan. A couple of reasons, mostly because I'm saved. But, I'm not a Saints fan. Remember that their quarterback participated in a thing like me, take your Bible to school. How many remember that? Well, he started taking heat because the group that he promoted it with is Focus on the Family. And so all the hate groups came. Oh, they're hateful because they, by the way, they're hateful because they're anti-gay, lesbian, all that stuff. They're hateful because they're for traditional family and they're scriptural. And Drew Brees backpedaled. Okay, so I no longer like him. I was kind of like, hey, he stood up. Whenever we put our faith in these Christians, we're so excited. Hey, this famous person says they love Jesus. They always disappoint you. And Jesus is looking at it and said, you know, hey, Lord, I'm going to follow you everywhere you go. I'm going. Jesus said, you're going to come with me everywhere? Let me give you a little bit of a reality check. It's not going to be easy. Maybe this guy did not think through his decision before stepping up. If we're going to be a willing servant like he wants to be, what are, and I think these are in your notes, what are a couple things we need to do? First of all, fight pride. Okay? You know, for some reason he felt compelled that he had to outwardly do this. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not judging him. You know, maybe it was so other people can do. I don't know. Maybe it was inward. You know, I don't get so excited about what people say as what people do. I've told you, you know, whenever someone visits the church on a Sunday and afterwards they're like, man, I love the church. I've been looking like for a place like this. I didn't know there was a church like this. I want to be a member. You know what that means? Within 3 weeks, the FBI won't be able to find them. A lot of times we just make emotional decisions. And that's what we, look, this. If we're going to follow Christ, it's not something we can do in our arrogancy, in our pride. I'm following Christ and they're not. That's none of your business. Wasn't it at the, in John chapter 21, hey, Lord, what will this one do? He goes, what's that to you? Follow me. Don't worry about them. Worry about yourself. And so we have to fight pride because it always creeps in. It sets us up for a fall. Look at Matthew chapter 26 there. Peter answered and said unto him, when Jesus let them know that he was going to have to go to the cross, Peter stepped up. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter just, that's Peter, right? Like, I know what you're saying, Jesus. You said all of us are going to bail, but can I just tell you something? Not me. That's pride, right? That's pride. Because Jesus gives reality. Jesus always gives reality checks, isn't that it? Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter, God bless him. Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter doubles down. No, I'll die for you. Jesus is like, all right, we'll see. And guess what happened? He didn't do it. Pride. You know, I kind of like the disciples up in the upper room. Jesus said, look, one of you is going to betray me. And they're like, Jesus told him who was going to do it. It's one that dips after me. And yet, what did they all do? They all looked at him and said, is it I? Now, I don't know if that was show, or maybe it showed a little maturity. Like, is that something I could do? I mean, we ought to all be very, very careful, okay? If we're not fighting pride in our life, it'll take us down. And then Jesus says, and then second thing you have to do is you have to figure the cost. Look at 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus said, if you're really going to follow me, you better think through this thing. You know, unless you come from a very, very strong Christian family on several generations, you know, sometimes your family's not excited about you serving God. Hey, little Fufu's going to have a birthday party this Sunday morning at 10. I'm sorry, I go to church. What? Hey, man, we're all going to go down here, you know, go to the park and hang out. I'm sorry, I'm not going. What's wrong with you? What are you, an altar boy? They're not all excited about what you're going to do. And don't be offensive, but don't let that stop you. Okay, not everybody's going to be happy. So figure the cost. By the way, it's going to mean a little bit more of dedication on your part. Getting saved is wonderful, but serving God and being a disciple takes a little bit more. And it might cost a little bit. Might cost some time and so forth. There'll be hardships. We tell people when they get saved, you know, you know what? If you get saved, everything's going to be wonderful. And it is wonderful in Christ. But there are troubles in this world that you're going to have to face. Okay? He didn't promise you, you know what they say, he didn't promise you a rose garden. Everything's not going to be smooth sailing. There are still things. We want the benefits, but we don't want to put in the time. That's the problem. You ever, if you walk by an Army recruiting office or any type of recruiting office, you know, sign up today and get your bonus, you know, travel the world. They make it sound like a vacation. And the first thing you do to get to boot camp, it's like, how do you want your haircut? You know, how about a little bit off the sides and back? And then what they do, they help you out. They give you a haircut like me. Okay, makes you look better, by the way. But it's not like, it's not all games, it's dedication. Okay, you know, you're fighting a war. This is real deal. Of course, used to be. But count the cost. So that's the follower that said he wanted to be committed. But I think he struggled with pride, and he didn't think through the cost, and Jesus had to kind of lay it out there for him. There's a secondary follower. Letter B. The follower that has been called. Verse 59. Now, the first one came and volunteered. The second one in verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. Now, this one he asked. He said, hey, I want you to follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. This follower is not like the first. Jesus calls him out to follow him. But this one is hesitant. You know, he starts thinking through. If I follow, here's some things I want to take care of first. Here are some things I have to do. And who knows if they're even legitimate. Sometimes when people are put on the spot, stuff comes to their mind because they're thinking through what they got to do. You ever witness to somebody? You can tell when they're under conviction because they'll start asking questions unrelated to salvation. Right? How many of you had that? Well, you know, I used to go to church here, and they said, well, you know, what's your church all about? Like, we'll talk about church later. Right now, I'm trying to tell you about Jesus. I know, because when conviction bothers us, you know, it's kind of like, let's kind of go off script here. Maybe he was getting to him. Oh, yeah, I got to take care of this. Was his father already dead? Maybe not. Maybe wait till dad dies. I got to take some things and make sure everything's under control. They wanted to wait. Jesus is never saying that you dishonor the dead here. He would never say that. But he is stating, don't let love for anything take precedence over him. Don't use anything as an excuse for not following. There's people they want, you know, I'm going to be a good Christian someday. But first I want to finish this, this, and this. That would be fine if it was in the Bible, but I've never read that. See, all those things that you want to do first, you need to put those underneath following Christ first and let that stuff hash out. Yeah. The reason we don't want to do that is because we don't want God upsetting our plans. We don't want God, you know, messing up the apple cart. We want what we want.
Yeah.
And who knows what God wants? God will very directly will show you and lead you if you're open to that, but you need to put him first. Don't be throwing stipulations. Don't be throwing these things out there. Okay? And think of it this way. In a way, we've all been called. We've all been called to follow in his written instruction. We've all been called to live a sanctified and a dedicated life and a sacrificial life. All of us have. And we've all been called to follow his will for our life, whatever it is. His will, not ours. We're not trying to squeeze our will into his. We want to follow his will. So what does he tell the called follower here? There's two things also. He says, first of all, answer him. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, that's not an answer to the question. What was the question? Or what was Jesus asking him to do? Follow me. That's a question. A question should be answered. You ever see these politicians? They'll ask them yes, no questions, and they won't answer it. Okay? They won't answer it. Well, yeah. You know why? Because you already know the answer. Are you for or against or not? You know, I think we need to listen to this story. So stop that. They asked a pastor at one of these goofy churches. He was on a nationwide show. Like, do you believe in abortion? His idiotic answer was, you know, you can't just, I think we need to listen to their story. No, no, no. You don't listen to a story. Abortion's murder. Always has been. And always will be. Okay? It's amazing how hypocritical we are. I saw a little video clip. I forget the guy's name, but I like him. He's some political kid, college kid. And he went out with a petition. And he was asking people, like, you know, we need to help save the eagles. Would you sign a petition that people do not destroy eagles' eggs because they're destroying the baby eagles? And, you know, he sets it all up. You know, after all, eagles are important, right? And we want to save them. And the young ones, they're kind of a big deal, right? Oh, yeah. All these people signed it. One lady's like, oh, yeah, I love baby. And he's like, you know, you're, and then the next, he goes, oh, by the way, before you leave, you love babies, right? Oh, yeah, they're cute. Hey, can you sign this paper also against abortion? And all of them, no. One lady that said she loved babies says, they're messy. And that just shows their hypocrisy. They're more interested in eagles than they are on board. I don't know where I got on that, but that's free. Answer the question. Jesus said, he didn't ask you to ask for delays or this or that. Answer him. You see, if we're Christians and we're saved, God wants us to follow him. And some of us try to put that off to the side. We try to put our obedience off to the side. But when God prompts you for something, you're either going to say, yes, I'll do it, or you're going to say, no, I won't do it. You say, well, I haven't answered the question. That's a no. If I would ask my wife, hey, will you marry me? And she said, and walked away, that's as good as a no. She doesn't have to say no. Maybe. That's a no. It's not a yes. Okay? I mean, you know, we're trying to seal the deal here, babe. Let's do this. That's what so many Christians are doing that. He wants us to follow him. And he's just not giving an answer. The only options for a call to action are yes or no. Okay? And then it goes beyond that because so many will say yes, but their actions say no. We got to follow through. Answer him. And then next, avoid delay. Avoid delay. What do you mean, who? Thanks for coming. Avoid delay. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, just don't delay. So many people, I'm going to serve God later. I'm young now. I want to do this. I used to do that when I was younger. Like, you know, I'm young now. Later on, I'll get in church and all that stuff. Listen, there may not be time. You may mess up your life before that happens. But don't delay, okay? Do what you're supposed to do. Delay always will lead to disaster, especially when God's prompting you, right? I read this story. A pastor and his family went to Niagara Falls, and as the water would go over that time of year, there was a lot of ice chunks coming, and it would float and go over because it was cold that time of year, and some of them would have fish frozen in those little pieces of ice. The fish were, and so some of the birds would come down and get on the ice and pick at the fish until the last minute, and then they would, until a certain time, and they would get off the ice, and it would go over the edge. This pastor said he was sitting there, and there was one bird that was on there, and it was getting a lot closer than the other birds, and they're like, you know, this bird needs to get off there. And he was pecking at the fish. Well, he waited too long. And what happened is his feet got kind of frozen onto the ice. The pastor said it went over the edge and the bird flapped frantically. And he tried to fly, but it was too heavy and it took him down. He delayed. Most of us, most Christians are delayed. But everybody's going to do everything later. You know, they're going to be later. No, do it now. Let's not avoid delay. And then lastly, the follower that states some conditions. The follower that states some conditions. Look at verse 61. This one comes up to Jesus also. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Now maybe he was like a combination. He saw the first guy just come and say, I'll follow you. And he didn't ask for anything, and Jesus kind of threw it at him. The second guy, he followed him. He goes, I'll tell him I'm going to go. I just want to do something else first. Well, let's see how that flew. Verse 62, and Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here he is. He comes to Christ on his own, but he has conditions. I will do this, but you got to let me do this first. That's not how it works. Okay? You know, we've already looked at Jesus' requirements. You know, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow me. So that's how it works. He wants to go back. That's really a familiar saying, if you think about it, amongst those of us who claim to love and follow Christ. I will follow, but I want to do this first. Or maybe we flip it sometimes. I'll follow and I'll be dedicated, but I just can't stop doing this thing. What are we doing? Do you have a stipulation? By the way, sometimes parents are like, you know what? I'm okay with my kids, but you know, I would never want my kid to be a missionary. I'd never want my kid to be a school. I'd never want them to do anything like that. I want them to do this. And I'm okay with them serving God as long as they can do what I want them to do. Now, if God wants them to do that, that's great. But you ought to always be open to what God wants. By the way, some of you young people, you're doing that too. You're just putting in a little bit of time. You know, I'll make an appearance and I'm going to go do what I want. You might want to find out what God wants. Okay? And thank you, Brother Ross. And I think you're trying to do what God wants. It's just not going very well. So let's not add stipulations. What are some of the things that this one needs to understand? First thing is this, forsake hesitation. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, okay? We just hesitate from surrendering, okay? Look, put your hand, just do it. Put your hand to the plow. Don't just go for it. By the way, that's always best, go for it. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be serious about Christianity, you know what put your hand, just go for it. Just don't hesitate. Don't listen to what other people are saying. Don't watch what your friends are doing. Just do it. Amen. And maybe I was wrong, but when I got right with God, I had all these friends and I didn't tell them I was going to church. I just quit. Just one day I disappeared. And I mean, we saw each other several times a week. Didn't call them anymore. I'm just like, I'm going to church. Can't hang around with those guys. I really don't. I'm just out of here. Several weeks later, like, where you been? Like, church. I'm going to church. You know, I didn't say you're a bad influence. I can't hang around. And maybe I should have been kinder to them. I did try to get them to church later, but I'm like, I'm not going that route. Maybe it's a little bit over the top, and I should have been nicer about it, and I was naive, but I'm like, I'm just going for it. They're not going for it. I'm out. Okay? But let's not hesitate. You know what causes us to hesitate? A lack of faith. You know why we really don't follow what God says? Because we don't believe that God knows what's best for us. We don't believe that God wants what's best for us. And we don't believe that God will give us what's best for us. Now, we'll say we believe those things, but our actions don't. This is what I'm going to do with my life. Why? You don't believe what God wants for your life is best. Okay? And so let's trust him. Let's not have a lack of faith. Or we have a fear of loss. What am I going to lose if I make this step? Let me make it easy. You're not going to lose anything of any real value. Amen. I'll lose some friends. If you lose those friends, they weren't real friends in the first place. Amen. Now, let them come and try to get them to church. Okay? Let them know you love Jesus. Be kind. Be nice to them. Don't go hang with them. You know. And then faithfully forward. He says, he that puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is a farm analogy back in those days. They would hold on to the plow. They didn't have all this, you know, farming equipment nowadays that makes it easy. But they would if they wanted to furrow a straight row, they had to fix their eyes on a point and walk straight at it. Yep. If they're walking straight at it and they start looking back or look to the side, what's going to happen? They're going to deviate from the course, right? And so Jesus said, really, you want, You want to do this first. You're already deviating from the course. You're not even on course, and you're already going to do that. Don't deviate from the course. Let's not start fast and end bad. Okay? I don't care how fast you run. I want to see how far you run and how long you run. You can come running as a Christian 1,000,000 miles and read your Bible 12 times in the first month, but if you're not in church in a year, then that didn't work. What caused you to get off course? Okay, just stay committed. Let's be the follower that he wants us to be. Let's not have any conditions. And we'll stop right there. Let's pray.